الحمد لله أحمده وأستعين وأستغفره نعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما أما بعد فإن أصدق الحديث كلام الله وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها فإن كل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار. I praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and he's the only one worthy of praise. I seek his help, his guidance and his forgiveness. I believe in him and I trust him and I seek refuge in Almighty Allah from the evil of our passions. Indeed, whomsoever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guides him to Al-Islam, no one can mislead him after Allah. And whomsoever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put him astray, no one can guide him after Allah. I testify openly that there is no deity worthy of worship except Allah Rabbil Alameen. And I testify that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his messenger and the seal of all the prophets. O Muslims, you must know that the best speech is the speech of Almighty Allah. The best guidance is the course of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The worst of all affairs is innovation and addition to the religion of Islam. Indeed, every addition to the religion of Islam will lead to hellfire. I adjure you as well as myself to fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to the best of your ability. Fear Allah and don't die unless you are Muslims. Inshallah, this is our fourth class concerning the book of Bulugh al-Maram. And we spoke about the chapter of purification, and we talk concerning the water and the type of water that we can use for purification. And inshallah, today in our fourth class we're going to be starting a new chapter from the book of Bulugh al-Maram. And this chapter 2, page number 18, which is Babu Al-Aniya. Babu Al-Aniya, the chapter of utensils. Al-Aniya is the vessels or utensils or whatever that you may use to put your water in, regardless if it's made from wood or from glass or from metal, whatever substance that you may use. So this container that is used for scooping or to contain or to reserve the water, this is what we call it aniya. Aniya is a single and the plural is awan. Awanin, which is the plural of the word aniya. And what do you call it? Also awiya in the Arabic language. The relationship between utensils or vessels or containers and what we're talking about, because we said this what we use to reserve or to keep or to save the water in it. So it has a indirect relationship to the subject of tahara and purification, because these utensils or this bucket or this glass or whatever that you may going to use to keep the water in it, it can be tahir, pure or impure. It can be halal or haram. It can be permissible to use or not permissible to use. In actuality, utensils and vessels have a different types. We say in general, every pure container or every pure utensils, dish, glass, cup, whatever, is lawful to use, even if it's expensive, high cost price for it. The cost and the price of such utensils doesn't make it haram. And also it is permissible to use it regardless if it's made from metal, copper, rock, mud, wood, skin, whatever it is. Doesn't matter the substance. And the proof and the evidence, the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, هو الذي خلق لكم ما في الأرض جميعا, that he is the one who had created for you all that in the earth. And if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala informing us that he is the creator and he's mentioning his favor upon us, that he created everything in the earth for our own use, so we could not make anything on the earth haram or forbidden to use without proof or evidence from the book of Allah or the authentic sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And also Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala stated in the Quran, قُلْ مَنْ حَرَّمَ زِينَةَ اللَّهِ الَّتِي أَخْرَجَ لِعِبَادِهِ, say, who is the one who had forbid the adornment of Allah which he put forth for his slaves? Okay, so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made the adornment for his slaves, and this from al-imtinan, that Allah showing us his favor upon us. So if he created for us, he's saying, who is that one that have the authority to make things that Allah had put forth for his slaves? Who is that one who can make it haram? In another surah, he said, وَأَنْزَلْنَا الْحَدِيدَ فِيهِ بَأْسٌ شَدِيدٌ وَمَنَافِعُ لِلنَّاسِ, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brought forth iron for mighty and benefit for the human being. From the iron, the people made webbing, knives, different things, and other useful things that they can use. So all these verses, Allah is mentioning his favor, his blessings on us, so we could not make any of these things or the use of these things haram until we have a clear-cut statement from Allah or his messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So the general ruling concerning all containers, all utensils, all vessels, all things which is that contain or reserve or save the water, the general ruling will be what? Will be halal and lawful and permissible to use. Now the hadith number 14. Hadith number 14, page number 18. This hadith which narrated by Hudhayfa ibn al-Yaman radiyallahu anhu. قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم لا تشربوا في آنية الذهب والفضة ولا تأكلوا في صحافها فإنها لهم في الدنيا ولكم في الآخرة. متفق عليه. حديث once again, hadith reported by Hudhayfa ibn al-Yaman radiyallahu an, qala qala rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam la tashrabu fi aniyati adh-dhahabi wal-fidda wa la taqulu fi sihafiha fa innaha lahum fi ad-dunya wa lakum fi al-akhirah. Muttafaqun alayh. General understanding of al-hadith narrated Hudhayfa ibn al-Yaman, may Allah be pleased with him, that the messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, don't drink in silver or gold utensils and do not eat in plates of such metals. For such things are for them, means the disbelievers, in this life, and for you in the hereafter. Agreed, that mean in Bukhari and Muslim. Okay. Hudhayfa ibn al-Yaman, which is the reporter of this, or narrator of this hadith, which he is Abdullah Hudhayfa ibn al-Yaman. He became Muslim as well as his father. So he is a Sahabi as well as his father. May Allah be pleased with them both. Sihafihima is a plural and the single is Sahfa, and is the smallest than what you call in Arabic qas'a. And as-safha, as-safha, which is a plate enough for five people to eat together in it. Okay? The qas'a is something much bigger than this, okay? Like a group of people can sit and eat. So, this plate, or this tray, or this utensils that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioning about it, which Al-Kisa is saying that what is sufficient for five people to eat in it. فَإِنَّهَا لَهُمْ, that mean the pronoun refer to utensils which he made from gold and silver. لَهُمْ, for them, that means the non-believers. Okay, he says that this hadith, although supposed to be in the chapter, alaykum as-salam, concerning food and the drinking, but it been mentioned in this chapter to show the prohibition of using them in wudu, the relationship between the hadith and the subject, that because he understood that the use of these two metals, that means the gold as well as the silver, is forbidden. All the scholars of Islam has ijma'ah, they agreed upon that is forbidden to eat and drink. But there is no agreement among the scholars that is forbidden to make wudu from it. Okay? And they said that there is hadith which in the collection of Imam al-Bukhari that Ummu Salama, she brought a small utensils which has some of the hair of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam and with some water, and she rinsed her mouth with this water. So again we go to understand that there is agreement among the scholars concerning the eating and the drinking in utensils made out of gold or silver, that is haram. But there is a disagreement among the scholars concerning the permissibility of using them. And we give example as example that if a person makes salah while he's wearing a ring of gold, his salah is still correct, but he's still doing action which is haram. So it's not because he's wearing the gold ring this will spoil his prayer. So he is doing salah while he's carrying something prohibited with him, so this doesn't mean spoil his prayer. But saying that Ummu Salama had used this small utensils that made out of silver for purpose of making madmada, mean rinsing the mouth, okay, this shows that her understanding that using it is different from eating and the drinking in it. Okay, what we understand from this hadith, the prohibition of eating or drinking in utensils that made out of gold or silver. The second hadith, which hadith number 14, which reported by Ummu Salama رضي الله تعالى عنها قالت قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم الذي يشرب في إناء الفضة إنما يجرجر في بطنه نار جهنم. متفق عليه. The hadith again that Umm Salama, may Allah be pleased with her, that قالت قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم الذي يشرب في إناء الفضة إنما يجرجر في بطنه نار جهنم. متفق عليه. Narrated Umm Salama, may Allah be pleased with her, that the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم said, he who drinks in a silver utensil is only swallowing hellfire in his stomach. Umm Salama, the one who narrated the hadith, she's the mother of the believer. Her name is Hind bint Abi Umayyah, which one of the wives of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam married her in the fourth year after Hijrah, and she passed away while she was 59 years old, excuse me, and she died in the year 59 while she was 84 years old. Again, Umm Salama, her name is Hind bint Abi Umayyah. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had married her in the fourth year of Hijrah. She died in the year 50 9. She was 84 years old, and we call her the mother of the believers because she's the one of the wives of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The word yujarjir, al-jarjara, sawt wuqu' al-ma' fil-jawf, is the sound or the voice, let's say the sound of the water when fall inside the person's stomach. The word yujarjir, okay? Jahannam is a name for one of the levels of hellfire. Okay? So that means the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, first this hadith is also is muttafaq alayh. That means agreed. That means in the collection of Imam al-Bukhari and Imam Muslim rahmatullah alayh. The narration of al-Shaykhan, the narration of al-Bukhari and Muslim, الذي يشرب في إناء الفضة, the one who drinks in the utensil of silver. And the narration of Muslim, في إناء الفضة والذهب, in addition the word gold. So the one in Bukhari is what? The one who drinks in the utensil of silver. The one in the Muslim talks about the one who drinks in the utensil of silver and gold. And this hadith shows the result of a person that who drinks or use this utensil for drinking. And from this hadith we understand that it's forbidden to drink in a utensil which you made out of silver or gold, and that is one of the kabair, one of the major sins. The third hadith, number 16, third hadith in our chapter for tonight, and this is hadith number 16, page 18, reported by Ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhuma. قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم إذا دبغ الإهاب فقد طهر. أخرجه مسلم وعند الأربعة أيما إهاب دبغ. الحديث again ابن عباس رضي الله عنهما قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم إذا دبغ الإهاب فقد طهر. أخرجه مسلم وعند الأربعة أيما إهاب دبغ. Narrated Ibn Abbas, may Allah be pleased with him, Allah's Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, when the skin tend, it becomes purified. Reported by Muslim. الأربعة have the words any skin that is tanned. Any skin is tanned. Thank you. عن ابن عباس رضي الله عنهما قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم إذا دبغ الإهاب فقد طهر. أخرج مسلم. الإهاب بوزن الكتاب وهو الجلد ما لم يدبغ. الإهاب is a name which is applied to the skin of an animal before he tan it. If you apply these methods to the skin, you don't call it ihab anymore. And tanning is a method and means of purifying skin of an animal by adding different things to make it dry and to take the bad smell away from it and to prevent it from getting spoiled. They may use some leaves from the trees, sometimes they use some salts, different things that they use to make to apply this tanning to the skin. The occasion of this hadith that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam he passed by a dead goat or a dead lamb belonged to Maymuna, one of the wives Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So he applies this hadith for this occasion. And from this we understand that tanning is means of purification for the skin of dead animals, not only life. That means if you take a goat as example and you slaughter it, this is not a dead animal, okay? Now you can take this skin and you can stretch it in the wall with some nails, and you can put some salt and different things, okay, and you leave it in the sun to dry. All these methods and this you call it what? Tanning. And these methods make this skin what? Pure. That means you can use it, you can pray on it like a prayer rug. Okay, we understand this to animals that you slaughtered. But what about if you have a goat and when you wake up in the morning, as example, you found this goat is dead? Will we take the whole goat and throw it away? Or can we skin the goat and take the skin and to treat it, and after this we can use the skin? Yes. Why? Because the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, إِذَا دُبِغَ الْإِهَابُ فَقَدْ طَهُرْ. And the other narration which is saying أَيُّمَا, any إِهَاب, any skin that been tanning, that will be pure. Okay? And this also we understand that tanning is a mean of purification, because we're talking also about means of purification in our chapter. So this is one of the method to purify. Number two, that skin be purified by tanning. Number three, that any skin, regardless if a skin of a live animal or dead animal, okay, live animal after you slaughtered, that still can be purified by tanning. Now the last point concerning, what about haram animals? Okay, as example, dog, swine. According this hadith, that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is saying, when the skin is tanned, it becomes purified. Now he said what? The skin. But when you look to the other narration, you say what? Any skin. Okay? Any skin that is tanned. So it shows you that also can apply to animals which is forbidden to eat, or animals that you may call it impure, like the swine. Now we understand that now the skin, if it's been tanning, that is purified. And although there is a different opinions about the scholars concerning the skin of the pig and the dog, but this for your information. So if somebody have a sweater or a coat made out of persuade, okay, or shows that you do not go in an argument with them about it, okay? Because this skin is being purified through the means of tanning, alright? If a person want to stay away from, to be more careful, this up to him, but you could not apply this to the people and tell them that you're doing something haram. This more clarification about the hadith say, a dabgh or tanning, using substance to make the skin easy or soft, or what you call,
pliable,
flexible, yes, flexible, and to also to remove the wetness, and because there is some grease and things like this when you remove the skin out of the body of the animal. Okay, Imam Ahmad rahmatullah alayhi, he has a different opinion concerning the skin that say for the dead animal, even if it's lawful of a good animal like a goat or a sheep and die, that you could not, even if he tan it, okay, and he have a hadith. But the scholars of the hadith, some of them, they said the hadith have some weakness in it, therefore they could not. Some of scholars, they said that you can use it in the dry things, but not use it for liquid things. Because in actuality, the skin, it can be used for different things, for clothes, for shoes. It can be used for as a bag of water, you understand, to fill it with water, and this water you're going to be drinking from it, and you're going to make wudu from it. And also can be used for dry things like rice and bread and things like this. People can make like bags out of it. There is a different use for the skin, okay? So the scholars, they have different opinions about it, but the hadith supports that any skin, regardless is the animal that is slaughtered or the animal is dead, regardless if the animal is halal or the animal is not, like the pork as I said or the swine, as long as the skin, and this because that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, yes, is going to be explained more, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had forbid the eating, okay, of the flesh of the swine and things like this. The next hadith, which hadith number 17, وعن سلمة ابن المحيق رضي الله تعالى عنه قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم دباغ جلود الميتة طهورها. Okay, the hadith, once again, دباغ جلود الميتة طهورها صححه ابن حبان. Narrated سلمان, narrated سلمة ابن المحيق رضي الله تعالى عنه, that Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم said, the tanning of dead animal's skin purifies it. Ibn Hibban agreed in its sahih. Okay. The first hadith that we dealt with today, which is number 14, I didn't have to say it authentic or not authentic, because you know, if it's in Bukhari and Muslims, this it. This is the highest that you can get in authenticity. And the second hadith, which is number 15, was also agreed. Alright? Hadith number 16 is in Muslim. Okay? So, was no need for me to mention anything about it. Hadith number 17, this hadith also is authentic. And this is the collection of Ibn Hibban in another narration, says zakat al-adim dibao, and this is another word for the skin, or the, in say, إهاب السي القديم. And zakah means purification. Okay. And also this hadith, he found it in the collection of Imam Ahmad and Abu Dawood and the Nisa'i and the Bayhaqi. And the isnad of the hadith is authentic, is sahih. The hadith been explained already in the first part of the other hadith, so is no need to go over it. And we already mentioned about the hadith of Maymuna, which that she had a goat and the goat was dead, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said to them, why you didn't take the ihab or the skin? He said, O Prophet of Allah, it is dead. He said, the water and the qard will be purification for it. Okay? Which qard is waraq salm, which is a leaf, comes from a certain tree that they use it, like qishr al-ballut and other things. And they said there is different means and ways people apply chemicals and things like this to dry the skin and to remove the wetness and take the water out of it and make it available for the use. This hadith shows that the skin of dead animal is permissible to use and can be purified through tanning. And there is isnad sahih, another authentic narration from hadith Ibn Abbas, that he said, matat shah li sauda. Okay, he was asking if it's sauda or sauda. Her name is sauda. Okay, which one of the wives of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, her name is sauda, daughter of zam'a. And she informed the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam about the death of her goat or her sheep. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, you can take the skin, miskaha, okay? Misk sha, that means the skin of it. Said, O Prophet of Allah, should we take the misk of the sha while it's dead? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam applied by saying, "Innama qala Allah ta'ala, qul la ajidu fima uhiya ilayya muharrama ala ta'imin yat'amu illa an yakuna maytatan aw daman masfuhan aw lahma khinzir." He said, he mentioned the verse in the Quran, "I don't see anything forbidden of what in what revealed to me for a person who's eating, except dead animal, gushing blood, flesh of the swine, and you are not going to eat it." Okay, so what is forbidden is the eating the flesh, and the skin, you don't eat the skin, you're going only to use it. If you tan it and you can make use of it. So I send and I inform her about what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said. So she skinned the dead goat or the dead sheep, and she took the skin and she tan it, and she used it as a water bag. And she continued to use it until became holes in it. Okay, that means stay for too long with her using this skin. Okay, we'll go to the next hadith inshallah, which hadith number 19. And this hadith, Abi Tha'laba Al-Khushani radiyallahu ta'ala anhu qal, qultu ya Rasulallah, إنا بأرض قوم أهل كتاب أفنأكل في آنيتهم؟ قال لا تأكلوا فيها إلا أن لا تجدوا غيرها فاغسلوها وكلوا فيها. Again, أبي ثعلبة الخشني رضي الله تعالى عنه قال قلت يا رسول الله إن بأرض قوم أهل كتاب أفنأكل في آنيتهم؟ قال لا تأكلوا فيها إلا ألا تجدوا غيرها فاغسلوها وكلوا فيها. متفق عليه. ذا حديث narrated by أبو ثعلبة الخشني that he said, O Messenger of Allah, we are living in a land inhabited by people of the scriptures, people of the book. Can we take our meals? Can we take our meals in their utensils? That means, can we serve our meal in their utensils? He said, if you can eat in theirs, he said, if you can get utensils other than theirs, do not eat in theirs. But if you cannot get others than theirs, wash them and eat in them. Agreed. The hadith is authentic. Abu Thalaba Al-Khushani, he is Jurham, son of Nashib, min Khushain, son of An-Nimr, min Quda'a. Aniya is a plural of Ina, utensils. Ahl al-Kitab, Ahl al-Kitab means the Jews or the Christian. This hadith came in another narration that we are in بأرض قوم أهل كتاب أفنأكل في آنيتهم قال لا تأكل فيها الحديث. And from this hadith we understand that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is forbidding us of eating in the utensils of the people of the book, with exception that we could not find others, that there is no other utensils or other plates to eat in it. And we understand from this that is because it is impure. Okay? But in actuality, this hadith will be explained by other ahadith, because we found in the hadith that will come later why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam saying this. And basically, if you know or you see that these people, they cook forbidden animals, like as example cooking swine or serving wine in their glasses, you could not use this. But in the case that there is no others except these glasses and these plates, so in this case that you have to do what? That you can use it, but the condition that you have to wash it first. So the understanding of the scholars that you could not use it as is, and even with washing, as long as there is alternative, leave it alone. Okay? Because sometimes even you watch things and still there is something as result of this, been using these things before. And you know that before they don't have this method that we have, all this hot water and this dishwashing machines and all these brushes and things like this, okay? And sometimes they have little bit of water of using it. But in general, that we shouldn't use these utensils as long as there is others. Okay? And this applies specifically about utensils, which is that the cooking swine and serving wine in it. And the proof about this, because that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made the food of the people of the book lawful for us. Okay? So how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make the food of the people of the book lawful for us, and He will forbid for us to eat in the plates? Which one is more serious? You see? But because Allah is talking about lawful for us is what? Their food, which is halal for us. If they cook a goat, if a Christian cook a goat as example, there's nothing wrong to eat from this goat, okay? But if a Muslim, he cook swine, you could not eat it. He did not say that, oh, it's served by a Muslim. Or a kosher pork, it's nothing called kosher pork, okay? So, the purpose that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say, you can eat their food, does not mean you can eat from their food even if they eat swine. Okay? But you can eat from their food which originally lawful for us. If they make some spinach pie as example. So there's nothing wrong to eat this spinach pie.